Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 4th. According to a new Colorado College poll, almost two-thirds of Colorado voters oppose the Trump administration's emphasis on energy production over conservation on public land. Eric Galatis has more.
Voters in Colorado and across western states continue to support conservation policies for publicly owned lands, putting them at odds with the Trump administration's energy dominance agenda, according to the 9th annual Conservation in the West poll from Colorado College. Governor Jared Polis says the poll's results show a clear mandate to keep public lands accessible for outdoor recreation, which he sees as a vital part of the Colorado way of life.
That's really one of the reasons that people choose to live here, why people move here, why people visit our state. Over 500,000 people work in outdoor recreation and tourism that puts food on the table for their families.
Polis says the survey also confirms that voters see climate change as a major threat to agriculture, skiing, and water supplies. Polis has made transitioning to 100% renewable energy from power grids by 2040 a top priority and says he's committed to adding more clean energy jobs. The Trump administration has taken steps to prioritize coal, oil, and gas production on federal lands in an effort to reduce dependence on foreign sources. Pollster Dave Metz says the survey shows voters overwhelmingly value conservation over resource extraction when it comes to public land management priorities.
Almost two-thirds of voters said that their priority was protecting sources of clean water, air quality, and wildlife habitat, as well as opportunities for recreation, while only about one quarter said that producing more domestic energy was a priority for them.
Nearly 9 in 10 Coloradans believe the outdoor recreation economy is important for the future of the state. Conservation in the West is a bipartisan survey conducted by Republican and Democratic polling firms. The poll surveyed a minimum of 400 registered voters in 8 western states, including Colorado. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The Colorado River Basin is inching closer to its first ever shortage declaration. Much of the focus on solving the crisis has been on using less water. But there's also talk of increasing water supplies by modifying the weather through cloud seeding. As Luke Runyon reports in part two of his feature story, it all revolves around the cost of water and how much we're willing to risk to get more of it.
Eric Germstad and I are huddled around a beige drum about the size of a trash can on a snowy hillside in Colorado's Vail Valley. It's filled with a solution of silver iodide, the necessary ingredient for cloud seeding. On top of that is a box of valves and a small chimney.
I feel like I was imagining something more high-tech when I was thinking of cloud seeding. Like, is this an old coffee can?
Yeah, this one could be a coffee can. It just, it's up on top of the chimney to keep any kind of preset from falling directly into the chimney.
It's not snowing right now, but Germstad fires up the cloud seeding generator so I can see how it works. First, he gets the propane flowing. And then turns on a valve to the silver solution. With a fire starter, he lights the chimney on top.
So this would be, if there was a storm right now, this would be seeding into the storm.
Yep.
Okay.
Germstad is co-owner of Western Weather Consultants, a company that operates dozens of generators like this one. In theory, these machines force clouds to drop more snow in desirable locations, like ski slopes or the headwaters of drought-stricken river systems.
One little ice nuclei out of this could end up creating another 100, 200 snowflakes, potentially.
This site is part of a much broader network of cloud seeding operations throughout the Colorado River watershed. For decades, the practice has had a problem with its reputation. People would say that it worked and boosted snowpack, while definitive proof was hard to come by. But that hasn't stopped states and water agencies from investing in it.
It really needs to be kept in perspective that this technique in the lab works 100% of the time. In nature, the effectiveness can vary.
That's Dave Kanzer. He's with the Colorado River District and manages a cloud seeding program in central Colorado.
The reason that cloud seeding is being implemented on a relatively large scale in the Colorado River Basin is it's a very low risk, high reward scenario?
Most of the information out there says yes, some water is gained through weather modification.
Colby Pellegrino is with the Southern Nevada Water Authority, the water utility for Las Vegas. Exactly how much extra water is hard to pin down. But Pellegrino's agency and others in Arizona and California are placing their bets on cloud seeding programs further upstream. Collectively, they're willing to spend upwards of $1.5 million on it each winter.
And the amount of water that's gained is pretty inexpensive water compared to the other options that are out there.
Even though cloud seeding has been happening in the river basin for more than a decade, not everyone thinks it's worth it. Patty Clapper is a commissioner in Pitkin County, Colorado.
You read one side of the story and yes, it's really working. You read the other side and we really don't know.
Clapper says discussions are going on in her county now about expanding a cloud seeding program and using tax dollars to pay for it. She has lots of unanswered questions about the effects of putting silver iodide into the air and broader philosophical concerns about forcing snow to drop in one place at the possible expense of somewhere else.
The data's not there, and my concern was, yes, we need to be concerned about the water in our rivers because of the drought, because of climate change, but you have to be careful when you mess with Mother Nature because she can bite you in the butt.
Clapper's hesitation isn't widely held among water managers, though. Cloud seeding has been included in statewide water plans throughout the West. And last year, states within the Colorado River Basin agreed to keep funding these programs for at least the next 8 years. I'm Luke Runyon.
This story is part of ongoing coverage of the Colorado River, produced in partnership with public media station KUNC in northern Colorado, with financial support by the Walton Family Foundation. And finally today, this news. Irv Brown, a longtime radio personality in Denver, and a Colorado sports legend, died in hospice on Sunday. He died after complications from lymphatic cancer at age 83. According to the Denver Post, Brown was a multi-sport standout at Denver North High School and at the University of Northern Colorado. Brown was a high school and college coach and was also a six-time NCAA Final Four basketball official. His career in radio spanned 42 years. Brown is best known for the show he did with his longtime radio partner Joe Williams, called The Irv and Joe Show, which aired on numerous stations for almost three decades. Brown was inducted into the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame in 1997. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 4th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.